delighted to have a clicker again. I'm delighted to have a clicker. Praise God. So we're going to come back to the book of Acts. I know you've been dipping in and out of Acts a little bit as a church over quite some time now. And we're going to look at Acts chapter 16 today, just in a few moments, and Paul's visit to Philippi. And then as I preach over the next couple of months, once a month, we're going to move on to the city of Ephesus, which Alistair mentioned today, and look at what Paul established there, what was built there, and what God would be saying to us about what he wants to build here in Glasgow City Church, right at the heart of this city of Glasgow. But as Helen and I come among you, we come and we bring the gifts that we are from Christ. That Christ has given gifts to his body. When he ascended on high, it says in Ephesians 4 that he gave gifts, some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. And over the centuries, one of the great things that have been detrimental to the advancement of the kingdom of God here on earth and the growth of his church has been that for so long, those ministries, or at least three of them, were totally neglected. And even in recent times, the gifts of apostle and prophet have only recently come into the kind of view of the church again. And what Jesus has given us, we absolutely need. We can't fulfill the task that he's given us unless we take hold of every gift and the anointing and the fullness of his spirit and everything that he has for us. And so Helen and I come among you. We come among you as an apostolic and prophetic ministries among you, gifts of God. God has put things in us. It's nothing of ourselves. I had no idea that my life would turn out like it's turned out. I had no idea. Many years ago when I was working for Cadbury selling chocolate. Great stuff, that dairy milk, you know. But I was selling chocolate and I married Helen. And I had no idea when we bought our first house. We had no idea that our lives would begin to go in a whole new direction. And even going into ministry, I had no idea that one day we'd step out in faith and not know where we're going to live and have to think, oh, we better rent a house now because we don't have a house and we don't know where our income will come from. But just seeing God supply for us in wonderful and at times miraculous ways over the years and such a faith-building journey. And, you know, it's what God does in our lives. And all he looks for is those who are willing to step out for him. Those are willing to say, if you say it, Lord, I'll do it. If you say go, I'll go. Even if I don't understand why or where I'm going, but you know and I trust you. And God is looking for the trust of our hearts. And as we give him that, we can step into the most wonderful things. And none of you are excluded. None of you are excluded. The qualifications aren't because we're smart people and we've got great degrees and PhDs or anything. The qualifications are just who we are, our hearts. And you might be the cleverest person on earth, and that's great. And you might feel you've not got an awful lot to offer, but God says, I just want your heart, and I can do so much with you. You might come from a good background, and you might come from just a horrendous background, but God says, I can take you from wherever you've come from. Wherever you've come from, I can take you, and I can take you somewhere incredible. I can take you somewhere incredible. And God is restoring to his church in these days. He's restoring the apostolic and prophetic ministries. And what do they do? What are the apostolic purposes? And it's great to be in, you know, an apostolic church. And this is one of the very few streams of church here in the United Kingdom that from its conception has accepted the ministries of apostles and prophets. And I think God's saying, because you honored my word in that way, I will make you a forerunner of the new thing I'm doing in this new season. And what are these apostolic purposes? I'm just going to mention four here today as they relate a little bit to our passage. And over the next 3 months, each time I preach, I'll say a little bit more on this. But they're wonderful purposes. Here's the first one, to break through and to build. How many people at times you need a breakthrough in your life? In this city, we need to see breakthrough. As the powers of darkness crush in and we see lives being destroyed. We literally see lives being lost through drug addiction and through many other things that oppress and crush it in life. We need breakthrough in this city. And the apostolic ministry brings breakthrough, but it doesn't just bring a breakthrough and then leave a kind of vacuum. It breaks through and then it builds something new. And the apostles in the book of Acts, they broke through in new situations, but then they began to establish something. Paul would establish a group of believers there. He would appoint elders. He would move on. Sometimes he was only there a very short time. You know, the church in Thessalonica, he writes the letters to the Thessalonians to that great church there. He was only with them 3 weeks at the beginning, three Sabbaths. And then he had to move on because of persecution. And yet, the Holy Spirit was at work. And those people were established into a great church. Other places he stays longer and builds. So the apostolic purpose, and it's one that we all come into. You see, when apostolic ministry moves among a people, you all come into it. You all come into the flow of it. And so you can all be people not only experience breakthrough and build, but you bring breakthrough for others. It's not just about what God wants to do in your life. It's what he wants you to do for so many more people. That we would pioneer and lay new foundations. And that is what Paul does. And we've mentioned particularly the cities of Antioch, where he built a base. And Helen and I now see this place, this family of God here, as our Antioch. Our base that we will belong to, but that we will go out from. And we'll come back to. And we'll go out from and we'll come back to. And so, you know, in a sense, you send us out to the places that we'll go. And as that breakthrough comes, there's a battle. There's spiritual warfare. We'll see something of that battle, that breakthrough battle, in this passage in Acts 16 this morning. But there's a war to be fought. It's a war that the final victory is secure. Jesus is victorious. And in him, we are more than conquerors. But we still have to work through the battlefield that is still here on earth as darkness rages against the kingdom of God and his Son. But we come in as the apostles did in this true warfare, in signs and wonders and miracles that bring great breakthrough. And God is wanting to restore among his church in these days signs and wonders and the miraculous. Not for the sake of the excitement of it, but because they are means of breaking through and opening up the minds of unbelievers. When Jesus did miracles, it often says that the people were astonished or amazed. And the word literally means to be shifted out of their position. So if somebody's in an unbelieving, and you know, folks, if you've spoken to them of the Lord, some people are just so entrenched against, aren't they? I don't want to know. I don't believe. You know, and their hearts maybe been hurt and offended or whatever's happened. And you think they're so entrenched in that position. But the signs and wonders and miracles, they actually shift people out of their unbelieving position into a place where they can see. I've talked with people and they were like, I don't want to know. And then we talk about their life and they all get this terrible pain. And say, can I just pray for that pain then? I don't get anything. Well, maybe you don't, but I do. So let me pray. And they do. And I lay my hand on it in Jesus' name. The pain immediately disappears. Suddenly they begin to listen to you. We need to see a demonstration of the power of God. And those of us who are from the charismatic Pentecostal churches, we mustn't be those who just talk about the power of God. We mustn't be those who just talk about what we've seen in the past. Helen and I have seen some wonderful miracles over the years in different places. But I don't want to be sharing with you the testimonies of what I saw 5 years ago or 10 years ago or even last year or last month. I want to talk about what I'm seeing now. We don't want to be a people that, oh, we got a great heritage of miracles. We want to say, yes, praise God for the miracles that took place, even in this place, this church in the past. But Lord, we want to see it now. You're the God of now. Bring it on, Lord. That's the breakthrough we want to bring. The apostles and apostolic ministry, it equips and mobilizes believers. Paul equipped others. He took others on team. We'll look at the little team he had with him in Philippi. He equips others and brings them on. It's always saying, here's the way, now you come and walk in it too. And that's Helen and I's heart, you know, with our equipping school. It's very much to not just teach, but to train, to enable and empower and say to you and to others, now you can do these things too. You can lay hands on the sick and you will see them recover. What a joy it was in the years in healing rooms to watch person after person come on a training course, feel totally inadequate, go into a healing room and think, oh, what can happen? I'm going to have to pray for somebody. What will happen? And when God moved through them and healings came and to see their faith rise up and an excitement come. And, you know, we've people today who are still doing this in all sorts of places. And yet the day they first came, they had no idea that could happen. They felt totally inadequate. We want to release that confidence that mobilizes the whole body of Christ. Number three, the apostolic ministry brings a convergence of the other ministries. The key thing about apostles is that they bring out the best in prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Sometimes the prophets, you know, they're seeing the visions and all that stuff. The apostle says to them, let's bring that down to earth and how does it work out? The evangelist wants to get everybody saved, but the apostle says, but we've got to disciple them as well. The apostle brings out the best in other ministries, and Paul took with him others. He had with him here Silas. Silas was a prophet. And when the apostolic and prophetic come together, things really begin to happen. Because Ephesians 2:19 says that the church will be built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone. Jesus is the most important. He's the one that sets it all in line. But if God's word says that he's going to build his church on a foundation of apostles and prophets, then we need to see the apostolic and prophetic ministries rising up and functioning in their fullness. And number four, the apostles, Apostle Paul had such an emphasis on fulfilling the Great Commission. They keep an emphasis on the Great Commission, which is more than just telling some people about Jesus. It includes that, but it means making disciples, building disciples who'll make other disciples. It means bringing the kingdom of God that is going to bring a transformational impact into our cities and into our nation. That's what we're about. That's what we're about. So Paul heads off on his journey, traveling around the different places, and he comes to Philippi. Philippi was a city in Macedonia. Paul had this call from in a vision. The Spirit had kind of prevented them going a couple of places. You see, what the Apostle Paul did, he kind of just went out. He knew God had sent him. He didn't pray every time and say, oh, where will we go today? He just went out. But he was open to the Spirit's direction. When the Spirit was saying, I want you over here, he blocks them and says, no, don't go in there. Don't go there. And then Paul has a vision of a man of Macedonia saying, come over here and help us. Helen had a vision one time, we were praying many years ago, of a woman from Albania. She didn't know her. Just saw her in a vision. A woman from Albania saying, come over here. I need your help. And we just responded to that. We began to pray for Albania. And it was just around the time, just after that, that the kind of civil conflict broke out in Albania. We thought, okay, this is why you want us to pray for Albania, Lord. And then Helen went out with her, took a team out there and ministered around a number of places. And Paul has this vision of the Macedonian woman, Macedonian man, and he's calling them to help. And Macedonia, Philippi, would just be to, if you know your geography at all, just to the northeast of Greece, modern-day Greece today. And so that's where Paul and his little team head off to. And when they get there, Paul's normal practice, wherever he went, was he would find the synagogue. And he'd go into the synagogue and he would reason with the Jews. And some would believe and some would get really upset with him. Paul didn't kind of go places and people please, did he? He didn't go into a synagogue or anywhere and everyone would say, oh, very good talk, old sir, that was grand. He kind of had some folks say, oh, yes, wow, I believe in Jesus now. And others wanted to stone him and kill him. He got reaction. And maybe one of the things about the church here in the United Kingdom today is that we need to get a little bit more reaction and not be afraid of that. But in Philippi, Paul can't find a synagogue. I don't think there was one. There maybe wasn't enough Jewish men to form a synagogue. And instead, he finds a place of prayer. He goes out by the river because he assumes there'll be a place of prayer there. And he finds some women. So the church in Philippi begins with a group of women. Some of you say, hallelujah. We need the women to rise up. Actually, we really need the men to rise up because the women are usually way ahead of us. The church in Philippi begins in a place of prayer, and it begins with a group of women, among whom there's one called Lydia, who invites them into her home. She opens her heart to the Lord. She invites them into her home. And as the story goes on, we're going to read a few verses in a moment. As the story goes on, Paul and Silas and his team are going around Philippi. And this poor girl who's oppressed by a spirit, a fortune-telling spirit. And other people are using her to make money out of her. But because of this spirit within her, it recognizes the anointing on Paul and his team. And it can't keep itself from shouting out. It's kind of like when Jesus went into the synagogue and a demonized man shouts out, "Ah, Son of God, what have you to do with us?" You see, sometimes the demons, they can't stand being in the anointing of God. It gets them all worked up. They don't know what to do with themselves. And this spirit in the girl is calling out after them about who they are. And Paul eventually gets so fed up with this, he turns around and he casts the spirit out of the young woman. And she's set free. But her owners, the ones who were making money out of her, they get really upset. You know, when you really upset people, it's when you cost them money. Most people will put up with most things, but when it's going to cost them money, they get upset. And so in Philippi, because of this, these folks go and, of course, they make all sorts of accusations against Paul and Silas in particular. Paul's little team that's with him includes also Luke and Timothy, who were with him as well in this. But let's read from Acts 16, from verse 22, as we pick up the story. So they've had these accusations brought against them. We're going to read from verse 22 down to verse 30. It says, the crowd rose up together against them. That's interesting. That it was just a very small number of men who had been affected by Paul setting that young woman free from that spirit. And yet, the way the enemy works is he stirs it up, that it becomes a whole crowd. Where did the crowd come from? It didn't affect all of them, but when the enemy moves against something, sometimes he just gathers a whole momentum against us. The crowd rose up against him. And the chief magistrates tore their robes off them and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. And when they'd struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. This was a severe punishment that Paul and Silas received. Beaten severely and thrown into prison. Verse 24, and he, the jailer, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. What a predicament to be in. The inner prison, it would have had no windows, a dark, horrible, probably very smelly place. And they've already been beaten with rods. Their bodies would have been in pain. What a horrendous situation. What are you going to do in that situation? Are you going to sit and kind of complain to each other, "Oh, this has been such a bad day. Oh, why did we get into this? Why didn't you have that vision, Paul, of coming over here? We should have gone somewhere else." Not at all. What does it say they did? Verse 25, but about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly, there came a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were unfastened. Hallelujah. Come on. When the jailer awoke and saw the prison doors opened, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And he called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And after he had brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Oh, that we would see the power of God move here in Glasgow. That people would come to us trembling because of the amazing, astonishing things the Lord is doing. That people would be asking us that question, "What must I do to be saved?" When was the last time somebody asked you that question? And are you ready to give an answer? Are you ready to give an answer? If you don't know, the next verse tells you the answer. This amazing passage. I love this passage. There was an old black preacher in the southern states of America that preaching on this once, he took a little bit of license with his description of the event. And he said it this way. He said, when Paul and Silas were singing their hymns in the prison, the Lord was sitting on his throne in heaven. And the angels are all around him. And the Lord says to the angels, "I hear singing." And Gabriel says, "Lord, this is heaven. There's thousands of angels, choirs, singing night and day, singing all around you." And the Lord says to Gabriel, "No, This singing is different. This is different. And he calls for a silence till he listens to this singing. And as he hears Paul and Silas in that dark dungeon singing praises to the Lord, it says the Lord loved what they were singing. The heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool. So the Lord has his feet in his footstool. And as he hears Paul and Silas singing, the Lord began to tap his foot. He just so loved their song. And as he tapped his foot upon his footstool, the earth quaked and the rest came forth. Well, something like that's how the miracle happened. And so we have Paul and Silas, the apostle and the prophet, Luke and Timothy with them, and the opposition that comes, and then their response. What a response. See, Paul tells us where we do not live by, we live by faith, not by sight. When it says that, it says we live by faith. It means we live by faith, not by the appearance of things. Not by the appearance of things. How did it appear when Paul and Silas were in that dark inner dungeon? It appeared dreadful, maybe even hopeless. They could just have been left and lost there. But they didn't live by the appearance of things. They lived by faith. Paul lived by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. And even in there, my goodness, they're just praying and praising and singing hymns to God. What a powerful, powerful testimony. The high praises of God. You know, in Psalm 149, it talks about the high praises of God. And I believe that what they demonstrated in those circumstances was the high praises. High praises that release something in the heavenlies. High praises that bind up the enemy, that break his strongholds. We can all praise God when things are going well, but it's when the trouble comes or when things press in against us. It's then that if we can lift ourselves in faith, we praise God with high praises that break something. And I believe two keys for us in this city and in this nation to see great breakthrough of the kingdom of God coming in power is extravagant praise and extreme generosity. Extravagant praise and extreme generosity. Not withholding, but a giving of ourselves. Giving ourselves in praise. I think it's lovely in this church that we have people from so many different nations. And us Scots, you know, we need some of you with that little bit more color in your clothing, which I love to see, that little bit more color in your praise, which I love to hear, to help lift us up. Sometimes as Scots, we can be a little bit dour, can't we? When somebody says it's a beautiful day, somebody replies and says, aye, but it'll rain later. It is true, isn't it? But as God's people, we're not bound by that anymore. I'm not living under the culture in which I was brought up. I'm not living under the mindsets and the attitudes that were instilled to me as a child that are against the ways of God. I'm breaking loose of those. And I'm saying I will not be a reserved Brit or a dour Scotsman, but I will sing the praises of God. I will raise a hallelujah. I'll sing a little louder. I'll talk about Jesus. I'll sit with people in cafes and public places and lay hands on them and pray for them. And I'm not bothered what anybody else thinks. I do bother. I hope they see that people would begin in this city, in this nation, to get used to the sight of God's people out ministering healing and miracles in the public places. To give extravagant praise and extreme generosity. You know, the church in Philippi was probably the most generous church in the New Testament. Paul refers to them in a number of places where they gave gifts. He says even out of their extreme poverty, they gave liberally. They didn't give because they were loaded with money and they could afford a little. Out of their poverty, they gave. And there are several places Paul refers to them as a church that gives. They met Paul's needs again and again. He says, I didn't ask for it, but again and again, you met my needs. And here's a church birthed in prayer. Sees a breakthrough because of the high praise, the extravagant praise of Paul and Silas, and a church that breaks through in extreme generosity. May those be features of us as we go on. And here's the final part, but the most important part. I'm hoping I've got another slide. What's happened to my clicker? It's gone. There we go. There was just a slight delay in the earthquake coming. The kingdom effects. As they praise and lift high the name of Jesus in that prison, the great breakout of the kingdom of God comes. But three things happen, and I believe the three are important, and I believe the order of the three are important. The first thing that happens is the foundations of the prison shake. The second thing is that all, not some, all the doors are opened. And the third thing, wonderfully, is that everyone's, not just Paul and Silas, everyone's chains fall off. But here's the thing. Sometimes we want to see people's chains fall off, and rightly so. We want to see the chains that have bound people and held them broken and them set free. But it's so important that we also see the doors of their prison cells open. And we see the foundations of the very prison itself shake. And one of the things that I've observed over years of ministry and years of reaching out in this city, we've seen wonderful times where people, their chains were broken because Jesus is the chain breaker. Their chains were broken and they were set free. But then I've found them maybe months or sometime later, and they're back in another bondage again because they never left the prison cell. The chains broke of whatever it was, the addiction or whatever it was over their life. Those chains broke and they got up, but they never left the prison cell. And they end up bound again. Or some may have left the cell, but they've never left the prison house. And if we're going to impact this city, we don't just need to see chains break. We need to see the doors of the enemy dealt with and the door to Jesus fully wide open. But more than that, we need to see the very foundations of the prison houses shaken by the power of God. In this city, we need to see the very foundation of addiction that has gripped this city so badly. We need to see the very foundation of that shaken by the power of God. Not just an odd captive loosed, although praise God for everyone. But we need to see a shaking of prison foundations that hundreds and thousands can come into freedom. Let me encourage us to be a church that, yes, we go after those in darkness and who are lost. Yes, we go after to rescue and to break chains in the name of Jesus. Let us be a church that understands in the Spirit how to close the doors of the enemy and open the door for people into the new life Jesus has for them. And let us be a church that knows how to intercede with the Holy Spirit, that we might know how to break the very foundations, shaking the very foundations, bringing down the very foundations of darkness in this city. That we might not just see a trickle, but we might see a flood of salvation coming forth. Why don't we stand together and pray? I believe the Lord would say to us this morning that if we're going to see the prison house foundations shaken, we need to be ready to go the distance. If we're going to see transformational impact of the kingdom break forth in this city, it's not going to happen just overnight. We need to go the distance. Don't start where you're not going to continue. Don't start calling out to heaven for a great breakthrough if you're not going to press in to see it happen. Don't stir up the hornet's nest if you're not going to fully deal with the hornets. And God would ask you today, are you in it for the distance? Don't stop short. Let's be in it for the distance because it's God's time. It's God's time for this city and this nation of Scotland. Father, we stand before you today. We thank you for the great freedom that we have. We thank you that we're not in some inner dungeon. So how much more should we be singing your praise? Father, we will lift our hearts. We will raise a hallelujah. We will give extravagant praise to you, our Lord and our God. And we pray today that you will release in us that apostolic measure of anointing, that apostolic and prophetic giftings flowing together that releases the body of Christ into its greater fullness. Father, we want to take hold of everything you have for us. And give us the revelation and the wisdom of how to move forward in this place, in this city. That we would see chains break, but we would see the doors fling open. And more than that, we would see the very foundations of darkness shaken by the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, the demons tremble at the name of Jesus. And we pray that may this city know once again the power of God. May this city know what it's never known, what it's never seen. Because you're going to do immeasurably more than you've ever done before. Father, I pray for each one gathered here today. Lord, if we need set free of something, if we've got chains, then would you loose us? Would you strengthen us and raise us up into the calling that you have for each and every life here? Lord, will you raise and release among us the gift of your Spirit to a new dimension? We call forth the prophetic voice to increase in this place. Thank you, Lord, for what's been, but we call for more. We call forth an anointing of signs and wonders to break out anew among us as a people. Here as we gather, but also wherever we go. Father, I call forth a loosening of your Spirit. Fresh breakout and breakthrough of your anointing in this place today. Just come among your people, Lord. Come right now from the back of the gallery, right down through this auditorium. Father, I pray your Spirit will just flow. Lord, I thank you so much for Barbara and for Alistair. I just thank you for this wonderful daughter and son of yours. I bless them, Lord, and I thank you the authority that you've put upon them to build in this place. And we bless them today. Will you reach out your hand and bless them with me? We bless them today.